Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Crazy Pill, where we swallow insanity in order to puke out propaganda, trademark. I'm your host, John F. O'Donnell, J. Fod. This is a very interesting episode, you guys. I teamed up with some friends who have a podcast called Hunter S. Thompson, Who Is That? So basically, we record an episode of that slash an episode of The Crazy Pill. So it's coming out in both locations. So basically, there was some source material that I wanted to talk about. So this is the first time that I've basically watched it and listened to a couple of things and then broken them down and given my assessment of them and stuff like that. And so you can listen to it without listening to the source material ahead of time, but you may want to, or after you listen to the podcast, you may want to go back and listen to it. But basically, I'm breaking down a couple of things, and one of which is a new documentary, a new InfoWars documentary, an Alex Jones documentary called COVID Land, The Lockdown. Now, I know you might immediately be apprehensive or dismissive or not. Who knows? I don't know what's going through your mind where you are at. But I found the documentary interesting enough to, at the very least, discuss. So basically, if you go to band.video, that's BANNED.video, you can watch COVID Land, The Lockdown. Then you'll have a frame of reference for the aspects of that documentary that we talk about. And then the other source material for this episode of The Crazy Pill is a podcast interview that Whitney Webb did, the journalist Whitney Webb did, with the professor, the NYU professor of propaganda, Mark Crispin Miller. And she has, you could find that through her website, unlimitedhangout.com. That's unlimitedhangout.com. Then just click podcast, get to the podcast section, and scroll right down to episode number 22, which is called Propaganda in the COVID Era with Mark Crispin Miller. And wow, that is an amazing discussion that they have. Very interesting stuff. So that would be the two source material things to listen to have a frame of reference for what we're talking about in the podcast. You don't necessarily have to listen to them. You can listen to them before. You can listen to them after. They're both worth looking up. One's at band.video. The other is at unlimitedhangout.com. And I just thought it'd be a good idea for me to promote people that have a broader reach than I do, I suppose. But basically, what's going on with me, guys, is I'm doing fine. I'm doing all right in general. It's just I think there's a lot of aspects of this COVID narrative that the mainstream has been pushing out to us that is leading to a lot of really bad negative outcomes. I have a lot of apprehensions about these these vaccine passports and stuff like that, and how it's the beginning of a new type of a system of control while all sorts of other types of our information is eventually going to be loaded onto these passports, and it's going to restrict our freedom of movement in all sorts of really messed up ways. So this podcast definitely starts to scurry down those rabbit holes. You'll see that my guest hosts, Sean and Ben, certainly give some pushback, which I think is good. We have a good dynamic there. And I think that, I'll be honest with you. Part of me is even nervous to release this because of some of the things that I say are just ideas that I'm floating around out there. So I'd love to hear any feedback from you guys. Send me an email at takeyourpillspod@gmail.com with anything you think. If you haven't joined jfodnews.com yet, please sign up for that. If you have any spare cash, please support my Patreon. That's patreon.com/TYPP. There's even just a dollar a month option. Any of those things really help. Again, check out that source material. And I would love to have some feedback to let me know what you guys think about an episode like this, because I think next week, there's also going to be, I'm going to try this again with them, with different source material, with an interesting documentary called How Big Oil Conquered the World by James Corbett. So that's where I'm at now. Yeah, enjoy. Please, any feedback is great. That's takeyourpillspod@gmail.com. And I hope that you guys have a great rest of the week. All right, bye-bye.
All right, this is the real one.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
real
shit.
One.
Shit. We're going live.
For everyone, you've stumbled onto a real one.
You guys want the realness? This is it.
We made it. So this is going to be a duo pod. It's going to be the Hunter S. Thompson, the triumphant return of the Hunter S. Thompson, Who's That podcast. And we have John F. O'Donnell with us now. So it's the crazy pill.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to take the crazy pill as well.
The crazy pill, Ben, is where we swallow insanity in order to puke out propaganda. We trademark.
We swallow insanity in order to puke out
propaganda. Do you get it?
No.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, dude.
Okay.
We swallow insanity. So we talk about these crazy-ass political, social topics.
Right.
And then we find out the truth. We get to puke out
our own propaganda. Oh, no, we're puking out.
Yeah. What we've been propagandized.
Okay. I thought that we were puking it out, but spreading it for our own gain.
No. Because the truth is, asymptomatic spread is a falsehood in the COVID-19 narrative. And that dictated a lot of lockdown policies, right, Sean?
This is true.
Sean's here.
I believe it.
You can't X-File me up top.
All right, we made it
once. Well, I mean, like, God's making it. That's
fair. Just a little X-File. Maybe. I mean, like, it's going to be like, all right, so say it again, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, there's a lot of things. Okay. So I've transcended the left-right divide.
Yes, you've told me that. I have as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we all have. Sean?
I think, you know, now's as good a time as any.
Yeah.
Let go. They want to divide and conquer. That's the false narrative.
We're actually all on the 15th plane right now. Yeah.
And I'm trying to level up to that 16th plane.
Yeah.
But we can get back into it. But basically,
United 77.
Essentially, every study that's ever come out has said that a respiratory illness cannot be spread if someone does not have any symptoms. But part of the way that we ended up with these lockdown policies, which, you know, devastated the world in a lot of ways and had a lot of negative health outcomes for people, both physically and mentally, was because of the specter of asymptomatic spread. And so I just wanted to, out of context, bring that up at the very beginning of the podcast.
That's good to know. Can we talk about a little bit of last night before we go into the truth?
Yeah.
So me and John, we were, I went to his show, Life from Outer Space, last night. A little bit late. Probably hit it 1. Starts at 9. Got there at 1 a.m.
Yeah, you can't really say you went to my show. Went to the venue where my show was.
I went to a bar.
Yeah.
You were also there.
Yes.
Post-show.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't feel entitled to your presence at my show.
I tried to get there. I took a nap.
Yeah, you took
unexpected nap. I told Sean to come too. But so during the show at 1 a.m. post show, I guess, me and John played pool. And then there were two attractive young ladies that played doubles with us. And they hated us the entire time. Us just playing pool with them made them sad.
Yeah, they were so excited about playing pool, but just not with us.
Yeah.
However, one of them, in all fairness, and they were like, tatted up, you know what I mean? They were like hot, tatted up girls.
Tall, tatted up girls.
One was taller than me.
So why?
Yeah,
why
were
they
taller than me?
So why did they just not? Oh yeah.
Not the tallest knife in the drawer, folks.
So what? Did they sense the crazy pill on you? Like what happened?
No, I was holding it together pretty well. It takes a good 20 minutes to realize how crazy I am, Sean.
All right, you know.
Just so anyway, yeah, I was just like, asymptomatic spread is a myth.
I'm gonna go 9-corner pocket.
Yeah. I'm gonna bank the 2 into the 3. The PCR test is spitting out an astronomical amount of false positives.
The 7's going to the 15th plane. I don't know if you know.
Nice, nice 15th plane callback.
You know.
But anyway, no. One of them There was Cheyenne and Kat were their names.
Yeah.
And Cheyenne was kind of taking somewhat of a liking to Ben. They were slightly. They had a little bit of a banter. She was kind of negging him, which I thought was kind of cool.
Negging me the entire time. But I could tell in her eyes that she was making the calculations in her head on if she wanted to talk to me. She would initiate the conversation. Huh. I could see her still be like, I don't know if I really want to continue flirting with this man. But she just did because she was stuck there.
And in my mind, I was like, oh, maybe I can make some inroads with Kat. But Kat gave no sign of me wanting to talk to her at all. So I just didn't talk to anybody. So I felt like, oh, one is kind of engaging with Ben, but they both definitely hate me.
But Kat wouldn't even give me her name. I was like, hey, what's up? I'm Ben. And then she just stared at me quietly. I was like, oh, and then walked away.
Yeah, Kat gave me her name, but nothing else.
Wow.
But we won.
Yeah, we won.
We won, but we lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So did you win the war, or was this just you winning the battle? Like, I don't even know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the war would be, you know, getting down, I guess, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I call making love. I call it war.
The war.
All right.
So we certainly lost that. But we did win, I guess, them hating us. So what is that?
Yeah, I reflexively, after we won, said, want to play another game, even though I kind of didn't.
None of us did.
And then but Cheyenne was like, yeah. And then Kat was like, no. And then we didn't.
She was like, that's okay.
I gave Kat's like, I'm not feeling
the
it.
Okay symbol. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, thank goodness. Why did I even bring that up?
I know. We all hated you for doing it.
Yeah. It just, I was just lured in by their, like, their badass hotness, because they had, like, the badass hot vibe going on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Kat wasn't all tatted up, but you can see, like, through the cool, like, black outfit she was wearing that was showing a lot of skin, that she had, like, a wrapping around snake tattoo on her side, on her torso.
Whoa.
I like when a tattoo wraps around. An animal wrapping around.
Yeah.
Or, like, the talons scratching through their chest.
Yeah. You ever see, like, a hot woman with a koala bear wraparound tattoo?
I don't know about koala bear.
I mean, you said animal.
Any animal. Koala bears.
Koala bear.
What and koalas then, have? They all have chlamydia. Chlamydia is gripping her side.
Yeah, then she could be like, ooh, I got the chlamydia from the koala bear tattoo, you know?
Hot.
And then Cheyenne had just like...
That chick is a Joey.
Yeah. A nice chest piece, you know?
Cheyenne was tatted up everywhere. She had like hand tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. But we watched, you watched an Alex Jones documentary that you would like to talk about.
Yes, I did. Mm. And Sean watched it, too.
I did.
It's called COVIDland, The Lockdown, which is part one of a 5-part series, and only part one has come out.
All caps for the listener.
Now, first thing that I want to say.
Those ladies missed out, you know?
Yeah.
If they would have come and stayed the night, then they could have enjoyed us talking about Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's where this podcast is going to be dissecting an Alex Jones documentary. And I don't want to brag, but we are not far from being directly under the tracks of a raised subway platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And I'm unsure if you're for or against the documentary's point. I feel like you're like kind of on both sides.
Well, this is how I feel about Alex Jones, is that I think that he may be controlled opposition in the respect that he'll talk about some conspiracies that are so out there and that are so bonkers, but at the same time, he'll talk about some really real shit that the mainstream narrative does not want to hear about, but because he talks about some stuff that's so bonkers, it undermines all of this stuff. And plus, his delivery is very, like, bombastic and whatnot, but this documentary, I think, brings up some really good points.
Okay, that's confusing, though. So you think that he's like a plant?
I don't know.
But you sort of think he's a plant, but then you also like the points in this documentary.
Yes.
So isn't that, that's like a little scattered, right?
Yes, I'm hedging a little bit.
Got a double hedge going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
In all fairness, though, let's see. Like, I think that Sean found some validity in it.
I thought it was cool. I think I also understand the hedging, because some of the points, like, as good as they are coming from Alex Jones, and to be like, and so the super class, you're like, come on, man, why you gotta?
Yeah.
A lot of the aesthetic, like, it's a lot of the news clips that are like, they'll have like, all right, look at these. like look at the mainstream media fucking up clips and then intersperse them with Fox News, and you're like, all right, thank you, Fox News, for bringing me the truth, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're not comfortable with that, then you're you feel like you need to hedge. You almost need to. Like,
I don't have the patience to watch every different news source to see which one that I actually agree with. There's like yeah, I'm sure some of them are, they're all right about something.
Except for CNN. Fuck them.
You think they're wrong about it?
The biggest liars in the world. They are completely infiltrated by the intelligence community without question.
Okay.
They're a deep state extension of nonsense, and they are pushing the fucking State Department, Pentagon, fucking executive branch line at all times, and they're lying to us. They're the lying liars who lie, and I wouldn't piss on them if they're on fire.
So you also wanted to look at this at Mark Crispin Miller, an NYU professor who's getting is he currently fired or he's like in suspension?
Well, he's dealing with a lawsuit. He's not fired yet, but he's dealing with a lawsuit for stuff like that. But there's but he's been very outspoken against, say, vaccine mandates and stuff like that. And he taught a course about propaganda for about 20 years at NYU. So he's really seen through a lot of this bullshit of the corporate media and stuff like that. And so he's been questioning the mainstream narrative about COVID-19. And it's led to this shitstorm where he's been attacked and smeared and all sorts of stuff like that.
I will say that because it was like one student that like did like a tweet that got him like this rolling.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his website and he has like a chart that she brings up from his website, it's like, it looks pretty conspiratorial to the common eye. Because, like, did you see the chart of, like, it's the funding of news sources?
I did not, but okay. I guarantee that it's accurate.
It could be, but let me just read off how this chart goes.
Okay, so, but then let's definitely double back. We got a lot to talk about with the
We'll definitely double back. But okay, but this chart, so at the top, it has the main funding of media outlets, starting with the Skull and Bones, then the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations.
That's absolutely fucking true. The Council on Foreign Relations is made up of just some of the most influential media figures and corporate figures and government figures, and they basically dictate in a centralized top-down way a lot of the news narratives that come out.
Okay, and then
the Trilateral Commission is something similar to like the Bilderberg Group or like the World Economic Forum, which is sort of like an up-and-coming sort of just club of the elites.
They're the new kids on the block.
They are.
Yeah.
They're making a lot of strides. They're really using COVID-19 as a catalyst to try to push in their agenda, which is an agenda of techno-fascism, using technology to control every aspect of our lives.
So next up top is the CIA. Now this is my favorite connection. So it starts with the CIA, then it hits George Soros. And then hitting from Soros, the money's going to trickle down to the nation, then Pacifica, Democracy Now, and Deep Dish TV.
Yeah, so he's showing how what is considered progressive left-wing media is actually infiltrated by these big moneyed systems and stuff like that.
One thing that's a little confusing to me is it's saying that the money starts at the CIA, then it hits Soros, then it hits these media outlets, but the money that they found for each of these, like for the nation, amounts to $37,000. It's like,
yeah.
Also, where is Doritos in all this? Like, I thought, like,
Doritos has to be, well, the nation,
like, where,
I feel like, I'm, the nation, what?
I mean, just like, if, okay, this is, if these are, I feel like if you just said, like, this is a chart of people that influence the coverage and, you know, the coverage of the mainstream media, sure. Like, I feel like the advertisers that end up paying to be on those channels, wouldn't that, like, or am I completely fucking up right now?
No,
that's a lot of the...
Probably where they're getting their... I feel like that's where, like, they're going to get their money is, like...
No, the point that I'm making is that, like, $37,000 is
That's very small.
Yeah. It's a very small amount.
I think
two interns.
I think that I think no, they're unpaid. Come on.
Oh, but yeah, right. Excuse me.
I think I would have to really look more into that. You
right.
know what I mean? And because I'm not sure how the CIA to Soros connection works.
Which is like crazy to me that it would go from the CIA to Soros, and then through all of that, it still only makes $37,000. Like Soros could, like, that's nothing to him alone, and then
Yeah. I feel like I would have to look into that. But if you, if anybody really wants to delve through how the corporate media works, you can check out my tutorial.
And how they find that, John?
Well, first of all, it's called How to Escape Your Corporate Propaganda, Rusty Cage, Echo Chamber, and Run. I think I just said it wrong there, but that's fine. But yeah, go to jfodnews.com and just scroll down for a long time, and then you'll find it.
Word.
But it basically goes through the entire left-right spectrum and shows where the propaganda is coming from. Mm. No, I think that's fair. I want to look into that thing. But even if he's inaccurate with some of that stuff, right? The fact that he has something on his website that is breaking down where left-wing media is funded,
yeah.
How is that lead to like a call to action for him to potentially get fired from a place where he's tenured and has been teaching since 1997.
Well, I want to read the Twitter bio of the girl who tweeted this.
Okay.
So what do you think the first thing on her bio is?
I don't know.
Icon.
So she, her.
Oh, I was going to say, of course. Okay. I was going to say something like that, but I didn't want to sound like I don't like respect a bigot. The pronouns. Yeah. Yeah.
So she, her, BLM, abolish prisons, mm-hmm. the police, the borders, capitalism.
Uh-oh.
Also check out Parks and Rec season 4, episode 17.
No.
At the timestamp 233, without a doubt. Yeah.
You made that part up.
I did not. That is in her bio. That's in her bio. She has 176 followers. Follows 2,369 people.
Wow, not a great ratio.
Not a great ratio.
That's crazy. And she's going to take down Mark Crispin Miller, dude.
Yeah, and she doesn't tweet very often either.
Mm-hmm. Well, she went and she missed that first class where he kind of explained how, you know, he wants students to think for themselves, read the sources directly, and come to their own conclusions. And he talks about how when propaganda is something that you... It's easy to see when you disagree with it, mm-hmm. but it's hard to see when it's something you agree with, and that's the real challenge.
Right.
And he, according to him, he never is like pressuring anybody to think what he wants them to think. But she wasn't there for the first class. She came in for the second class, was just like very upset about something and got the ball rolling, and his department head... It sounds like they've wanted to throw this guy under the bus for a while.
Probably.
They just needed like out like they got Al Capone for tax evasion, but they wanted him for murder.
Kind of yeah. So they basically have framed him as being anti-mask or something like that, and that's enough to get somebody fired. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But everything that he said, a lot of the things that he said in terms of the COVID narrative and about propaganda in that podcast episode, because we listened to a podcast episode between him and Whitney Webb,
mm-hmm.
her podcast is called Unlimited Hangout. A lot of that stuff resonated with me. I mean, you know,
some of it got with me, but also I'm always like worried whenever I listen to a guy who falls too much into like, because he talks about the New World Order a bunch, and then of course he doesn't like Bill Gates and stuff. But whenever I look into this stuff, it always feels like a game of like mirrors where I'm trying to figure something out, and I feel like maybe he's doing the same thing and then gets kind of like lost into what he thinks is actually true.
You think so?
I do.
I don't think I totally understand what you're saying.
So he one of the points he made was the Tanzanian president.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, look at this one Tanzanian president.
Potentially
got assassinated because he took a PR test and tested like goat. Is that what happened?
No, well, he was very against vaccine policy. And
right.
He was using the PCR test, which we first have to explain what the PCR test is. The PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction test, mm-hmm. is what's used to determine if someone is positive or negative for COVID-19. But it's a really problematic test because you take a DNA sample and then you start spinning it up a number of cycles. But if you go past a certain cycle threshold, you're spinning it up so many times and amplifying it so many times that you're just finding this like minuscule nothing amount of virus. So it doesn't mean that you're actually infectious or contagious or anything like that or even sick. So it's spitting back an astronomical amount of false positives. At least that's what the claim is. And those false positives have led to our lockdown policies and all sorts of negative outcomes and things like that. So this president of Tanzania, he...
What did he test? It was like goat and something else?
He tested like a... he tested... what was it? Like a papaya or a guava?
Papaya and a goat.
Something
yeah,
like
papaya,
that.
Yeah.
And they came back positive for COVID-19.
This is what makes me like a little wary on him because
and he died, and there were like five African leaders who were all against vaccine stuff that all mysteriously died in the past year.
That is weird.
It is pretty weird.
But this is what I have against Mark Chris Miller for using that so much as his point for like an overall conspiracy, is that the story is that the Tanzanian president tested these things, and do we have any way to check that what he's saying is true?
I mean, we'd have to look into it, but I remember hearing about it outside of him,
right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. I remember some other commentators talking about it like a year ago when it happened.
It's just like that to me. That's the kind of thing where like a Tanzanian president can just like say we did this, and then now it's very easy to pick up that news story without any confirmation of him doing that.
Well, outside of that, this PCR test is seriously problematic. Like
I've heard you talk about if you spin it too much, every time you spin it, there's like an additional.
Well, there's a threshold cycle where you're not supposed to really. It depends who you talk to, but everybody says, like at most, like even the most conservative person says you wouldn't want to spin it up more than 35 cycles. And the person that says that and is on record saying, and you can see video of it, is Tony Fauci. But routinely, across labs across America, it's been being spun up 37 to 45 cycles. And that's dictated from the top down. From the CDC and stuff like that. So it's absolutely inflating the cases. And you can say, oh, people just want to be safe. They want to be on the safe side in order to see if somebody has it or not. Mm-hmm. But it's actually leading to awful, awful policies of lockdown. And it's becoming a case-demic where there's just like, look at all these cases and all this spread. And that's why there's so much asymptomatic spread. No, asymptomatic cases, they say, because they're people that have had a cycle spun up 45 times and they're fine. They're actually healthy. But instead, you know, they have to quarantine. It's fucking, I think it's bullshit. Mm. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
I mean Sean, you know about
John F. O'Donnell thinks case-demic is bullshit.
But yeah. Sean, I mean, you know about the PCR test.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, just what that guy, what the document, what Crispin described, and then in the documentary, and then the guy who invented it is like, absolutely should not be used to diagnose diseases. And then,
yeah, think about that.
I mean, although he said that, he's also like, look, you can't expect the sheep to know.
Yeah. Which is Kerry Mullis.
Yeah,
is
Kerry
the
Mullis,
guy who
the guy
invented the PCR
which,
test.
As a sheep, that kind of feels a little like, all right, man, I got it.
So dude, you're in the 15th plane, dude. You're awake.
What did he invent the test for?
He invented the test to find viral molecules.
Okay.
You know, so basically it's very good at what it does. You can put in a genetic sample, and then if you do it right, and like chemicals are added to it, you know, and then if you do it right and you spin it up enough, you can find exactly what you're looking for and try to isolate it from there.
Right. Or if you have like a gene for some type of, like if you wanted to know that breast cancer ran in your family, if there was like a gene that was like, you know, this gene causes breast cancer sometimes, you could you could take some DNA from that person, spin it out, have the viral fragments, or not the viral, the DNA fragments go in, and then you can find like, oh, you have this
There's
gene.
The gene. Okay. Yeah.
And he says straight up, this is not meant to be used as a diagnostic to tell if somebody is sick or not. And oh, he died about a year before this shit happened, too.
he really shits
on... How old did he die?
Not old enough.
Not old enough.
Really? I mean, he also shits on Fauci hardcore.
He shits on Fauci hardcore. He says Fauci is a liar and inept and all of this stuff.
Damn,
he
really?
Fauci. Yeah.
This
he
is
talks
before,
about how,
this is like before COVID, too.
Oh, yeah. Before COVID. He talks about how Fauci was completely fucking negligent during the AIDS epidemic and stuff like that, and how his policies and his delay in terms of for getting out certain studies and stuff like that led to the death of a lot of people. He talks about how the PCR test was wrongly used during the AIDS epidemic, and how they would find that people were sick and that they had AIDS when certain people did not. Or had HIV when certain people did not, and then it was the medications that killed them. Mm. You know what I mean? I just put a lot of words in his mouth, but that's fine.
I mean, he did. Yeah, he was quoted a lot for that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kary Mullis, the inventor, who won the Nobel Prize for this invention, by the way, talks about how...
I mean, Nazis have won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, how prestigious are you calling the Nobel Prize?
Look,
I think it's prestigious.
Look,
I mean, Ben doesn't need a Nobel Prize.
Like, yeah, I'm
Ben, that was some serious derailment right there. Look, if someone wins a Nobel Prize and I don't like them, then I equate it to the Nazis. If
Nazis.
I do like them, then I use it as a way to validate my point. And that's how I do it.
Yeah, look, I don't trust anything. Not the Nobel Prize.
Look, this PCR test thing, this is like a linchpin because it's allowing for the fucking lie of asymptomatic spread. It's allowing for a number of false positives that is inflating the case amount. And that's leading to all sorts of policies that have destroyed shit and have allowed for the catalyst of the World Economic Forum agenda to push in technocracy, which is control of our lives through technology, through the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset. And part of it and the onboarding of it is through the vaccine passports, because that's just the beginning of a complete digital ID situation. Where it's like you have to have all of your medical records digitized and on you at all times. Then they loop it in with the environment and your personal carbon footprint and how much you're using energy and stuff like that. You get your energy allotment. And then it has to do with eventually a social credit score system similar to what's going on in China. I mean, already for the vaccine passport aspect, they use Equifax. They use your credit score as a way to...
I want to stop there. Everyone always talks about the Chinese social credit score thing. How implemented is that actually? Because I'm like, I hear about it, but I never really know.
Well, if you jaywalk in China, you can... And they have camera...
They have cameras everywhere.
I mean, and we have cameras everywhere.
Yes, but we are aspiring to get to where they are.
Right, right.
Yeah, in our own American way. But like
they're the globalist standard.
Yeah, they're very good at it.
Yeah, they do it better than... Yeah, so basically, like, if you, like, were jaywalking and they were able to snap your face on the photo, they would be able to send you a fine basically, like, in hours and then show how this impacted your social credit score as a punishment for doing so. And obviously if you do it again, it'll be a greater punishment.
Right.
Like, and then it'll send you alternatives to jaywalking, like waiting to fucking cross the street or like...
And then what is the social credit score essentially used for after it's dampened or heightened?
After it's... Well, that's the thing. So like if you... Certain cases you can't go into certain restaurants if you can't do it. You get... If you...
Certain restaurants?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So if you...
They have high class restaurants.
Can't go on the train?
Oh, hold on. Can't go on the train. Can't apply for a loan. In a similar way that like your credit score would actually like... excerpt you from getting any of those things, like the social credit score can be used in that way.
And this, like, is nationwide?
Yes
really? And it's actually and you can't... certain people can't fly on planes, can't leave the country, stuff like that.
Damn.
And there's all sorts of social pressure too, where people can compare their social credit scores to see if they want to date and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want to date somebody with a low social credit score. But also it's like there's a government version of it and then there's private company versions of them. So it's kind of not totally unified nationwide yet.
That's what I'm really asking. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Like,
but they're going in that direction. That's
right,
the
right.
goal.
Because I mean,
and us with the us moving from the war on terror age into the biosecurity age, we're going in the direction of this this social credit score, and we're going in the direction of basically we're all biohazards until proven otherwise now. And we're all supposed to be scared of each other, and everybody's sick, and you have to just constantly get whatever medical procedures you're told to get, and you have no bodily autonomy anymore. Because, like, for example, this is not going to just stop with this first round of injections. If you look at Israel right now, who is, like, 6 months ahead of us and all this stuff, they're already doing their boosters in a widespread capacity, and they have something called the Green Pass, which is their national vaccine passport system. And they now, your Green Pass is only valid if you've had your booster.
That's pretty...
It's fucked up, dude. And like, can we?
I also don't like when, no matter what, when you're talking about anything like this, it's gonna end up somewhere Jewish. It makes you sound crazy every time. You know that's true.
Because Israel?
What do you mean? Yes. Like, I mean, almost every conspiracy theory. or things that people call conspiracy theories, when you get into that umbrella term and into that realm, it's going to have some sort of Jewish through line at some point. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy for saying
this? No, I do think, because this particular one has to do with the nation state of Israel, doesn't have to do with the Jewish ethno state. Like, you could look at Australia. We could talk about Australia and how locked down they are.
And, I mean, they are, like, the shit they're pulling in Australia
is fucked
up.
They're locking down really hard. They are locking down really hard.
You want to play softball with your kid to show me your papers or go inside? That's, like... And that's Australia, like Crocodile Hunter people. Like, they're not.
The only reason I kind of like give Australia credence is because they're like an island next to New Zealand. So I feel like they have like a really fearful thing. Like, if we can get rid of it, then we can just not let anyone in and we'll
mine.
Be safe. We'll just mind alone, cool. Isolationist.
The idea of trying to have a zero COVID policy, like no cases,
it's ridiculous.
Crazy. And then to have like 8 cases and lock down a whole fucking region and like have kind of like very militarized police all over the place, and somebody pulls down their mask for a minute, they're getting fined thousands of dollars, people getting chucked down to the ground and fucking, you know.
I mean, there's also places where like there are people, like they're basically also islands, and they're like Singapore like gave up on trying to stop COVID at this point.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, New Zealand and Australia seem to be the only islands like really trying that. Yeah.
And then like Taiwan, who had like for a good like year, they had like 0 cases and they were crushing it. And then also shouts out to World Health Organization not acknowledging Taiwan doing so well. We know why the fuck you did that.
Exactly.
I will stand on that fucking, anyway.
Yeah.
I got Taiwanese relatives in my ear about it. You know, they're fucking...
They do not want to be part of China.
Oh, yeah. They're like, everybody I've talked to from Taiwan is like, look, we like Trump because he will keep them away. Like,
yeah.
And that was like their only. I don't want to derail. But yeah, like it seemed like, or like Denmark gave up on trying to stop COVID. Like,
well, they
I'm
just,
not sure why.
Yeah, they just
I'm not
declared
sure why they did,
that
like,
it's not a pandemic there.
Denmark
anymore.
Did that?
Yeah, they said it's like the fucking cold now. Denmark did. Sweden never locked down.
Wait, I thought they did after, like, shit got hairy for them. Okay.
My understanding is Sweden never locked down, and they are, like, 50th in the countries in deaths or whatever, you know? And they didn't just decided not to destroy their economy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Yes, apparently Sweden did not lock down.
Huh. Yeah, and that's, like, the outlier that no one wants to talk about is the Sweden situation.
This Business Insider article says its COVID-19 death rate is up to 10 times higher than its neighbors.
Huh.
Yeah, August this year. But,
I don't know if that's true.
That's what I'm, that's fine.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
I mean,
did the Swedish neighbors come up with that number?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like,
but what was I going to say? This digital ID thing is kind of, a lot of people think that the vaccine passport is an onboarding for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I find that really worrisome. And I think it's so unfair. Like if we get blamed for environmental destruction when it's like literally 100 corporations are responsible for 90% of emissions and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to pay for more carbon credits if we fly on a plane and shit like that. It's just more systems of control for our life. And I don't think it's going to stop until people really just say no. And there's so many people who have been so mind fucked and scared by the corporate media and the government that they're championing shit like this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you look at Australia, how much of your freedom are you willing to give away in the name of quote unquote safety? You know, how much?
Yeah.
How much, Ben?
I'm not truly that scared of COVID myself. So I don't want to give away any of my freedoms.
Yeah. You know what I say? You can't get it if you don't believe it exists, you know? I'm just kidding.
Damn.
But the amount of false positives in the PCR, if you're doing 45 threshold cycles, that will lead to, according to studies, 97 to 98% false positives can come out of that. And then here's the trick. What has happened in the past is then once the vaccine comes out, from top down, they say, okay, now lower the threshold to 25 cycles. So then they're finding less people are getting it, and they go, oh, look, the numbers are going down. The vaccine's working. Fucking crazy.
I think, but, so the thing I'm thinking about there is, in the beginning, people were hospitalized much more. So do you have, like, any answer for that?
Well, in New York, I think that it was a lot of, like, everybody that was hospitalized was put into these nursing homes, mm-hmm. and the protocol was to vent them, to put them on the ventilators,
right.
which led to 9 out of 10 of them die. That was, like, a terrible protocol.
The ventilators did not seem to work, no.
No, yeah. They did not.
But the thing is, people
And what are we doing now? Do we know what we're doing now for...
Well, just to finish answering the first part, is that because they were saying it was, like, an aerosolized virus, they wouldn't give people oxygen when they came into the hospitals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They would have to basically say, all we can do for you is wait till you're sick enough to put you into an ICU, and then if you're in an ICU bed, you have to be ventilated. And then that led to the death of a lot of people. Also, and this is in getting back to COVID-19, the lockdown, there was a part where they were showing where the rumor was, oh, my God, all of these hospitals are overwrought. They're all like they're all overfilled and it's like a disaster and stuff like that. But then there was a lot of citizen journalists that went around and went into these hospitals and looked at them. And there's a lot of footage showing that that wasn't the case. Okay. You know what I mean? What did you think of that part of the documentary, Sean?
I mean, again, anecdote is not data. I mean, going into Elmhurst and fucking just be like, yo, where are the patients at? And like, that's, I mean, I appreciate that they did that, but like, you know, I have like some people that work in hospitals and they would be like, yeah, we're getting slammed and we're not getting the help we need, which is like, I understand, like, I wouldn't be, that was probably the hardest thing to actually see in the documentary, or like that hard time taking seriously. Is just like, now that people were like, the hospitals were like, we're getting fucked, but like it's had to have been like in waves and selective, or like, and I'm sure the media, again, what sells viewership is like, shit's on fire all around us. Oh my God, don't you dare change that channel, you stupid. You know, that's what.
Yeah, they want those eyeballs.
I wouldn't be shocked that that was the case, but like, that was like, again, it seems like one hospital in Queens to be like, well, I guess it was a pandemic this whole time. That's hard to.
It was hard
block to build the tower on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they did. Yeah, I agree. And I don't think it's enough evidence to definitively know. But it was, they did show a whole bunch of different hospitals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have a friend who is a nurse in New York City who at the time when she thought everything was going to be crazy and overwrought.
Yeah.
She said that she was only getting 1 to 2 shifts a week. She said that all of the nurses that came in from out of state that wanted to help had no work for them, and they all got sent back. And that big boat that came, like the floating hospital thing like that, was left essentially empty and things like that. And then she said she was at a testing site, and she said she would get like maybe one person would come to get tested for like a 12-hour shift and stuff like that. But then this is what's so interesting. She's telling me all of that, and then she's also at the same time saying that it's like a disaster the way policy's going, and this thing is like a super big deal and stuff like that.
I mean, I believe both. Yeah.
So I was like, wait, there seems to be a disconnect here.
Yeah.
But for example, there's something that came out when the mainstream media was reporting that in Houston, that once they like opened up their hospital for elective surgeries and stuff like that, and I think like the governor said people didn't have to have mask mandates or something. And then the mainstream media wanted to have the narrative that the numbers were jumping like crazy. So they said that the hospitals were overwrought, and that forced then the governor to close down elective surgeries and stuff like that. And elective surgeries, that doesn't just mean like, you know, nose jobs. That means like cancer screenings. That means like hip replacements, all sorts of stuff.
Broken bones.
So the four biggest hospitals in Houston released a joint statement saying like, hey, we appreciate that you're trying to keep everybody safe, Governor, but we are not overwrought. We really appreciate if you would sooner compared to later open things back up for elective surgery, because it's helping people. And also they need that money. That's where they make their money. And I saw that letter, you know, it makes me think that there is a certain narrative going on that's just not true.
So what's the narrative right now, do you think?
their narrative right now is still somehow that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, that the unvaccinated are dangerously somehow spreading the virus left and right to other people, which does not make any sense. If you have the vaccine and you're protected, but the vaccine is on record that it, the vaccine is on record saying, but no, the vaccine does not stop transmission and it does not stop infection. What it does is apparently reduces the symptoms if you do get it. So it's the sort of thing where if you're vaccinated, the unvaccinated person, they're not a threat to you.
Right.
But somehow the narrative has been that they are in this agenda to get everybody vaccinated. So I think that the current narrative right now is going to be that the there's going to be more restrictions put on the unvaccinated. In Canada, for example, they passed a law that people cannot take airplane flights domestically if they're not vaccinated. There's little rumblings of that happening here.
I will say that this is like completely anecdotal, but I've noticed that people have started wearing masks more in New York than they have been lately. Have you noticed that? Like now, I see a lot more people wearing masks outside, just casually walking. In the beginning of summer, it was pretty people might have been tired of things, so they like let their guard down and took the mask off.
It was going to be white boy summer, hot girl summer.
Exactly.
You can't have either of those things with a mask on. So fucking.
But now it's like for some, have you noticed that as well?
I have noticed that a little bit. I think that has to maybe do with the Delta narrative.
Yeah, but it's like, but there was a lag time because the Delta narrative in the news cycle, that was probably like 2 months ago when it was hot, right? But still, there wasn't as many masks as there is like today, which I don't feel that there's like a hot COVID item pushing through currently.
Yeah, I thought maybe it would be this thing about Delta, but you're right. That was a couple months ago.
That was a couple months ago.
What else is going on with it? So, well, maybe it has to do with the fact that now they're rolling out the narrative that it has waning. There's waning immunity.
Could be waning immunity,
and that it's that they're they've approved for a certain group of people to get boosters. And that's going to obviously be extended to everybody, and some people are excited about it or whatever.
It is odd to me though that there's like there's no hot news item that's like threatening people more with COVID, but I'm noticing like anecdotally the culture of New York is to be a little bit more fearful.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what media outlets they're listening to or what's going on? Mm. But you know, when is there going to be able to be a discussion about the underreported? Vaccine adverse effects, the vaccine injured, you know, because there is a lot.
I don't know much about that.
Well, there's two places to look for it initially. Okay. There's the VAERS system, which has to do with America, VAERS. Maybe you could look at that.
Yeah. I'll check that now.
I always forget what all the letters stand for, but it stands for Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System.
Event Reporting System.
Damn it.
Very close.
So close.
There's that one. And then there's one that the World Health Organization has released for everybody. And there's a lot of numbers of vaccine injured people. And people that are skeptical will be dismissive of this, saying, well, these are self-reported.
That is what I'm reading now in their disclaimer, that all these are self-reported.
Yeah, but it takes about a half hour to put it in, and apparently it's a felony if you put something in that's fake. You know what I mean? And there's certain studies have come out, university studies, saying that when there's a VAERS numbers, that's usually about 1% of what the real numbers actually are, of who's actually... so you can potentially times those numbers by 100. And the one with the World Health Organization, you could probably times that one by at least 10. And you can look at what's going on. And just to take one issue, this myocarditis thing, which is inflammation of the heart. Have you guys heard about that?
I have not.
Have you heard about that?
Like as a complication. I think it was like the one I saw was like 5 per 100,000.
Okay.
Or like
okay.
5 incidents per 5 or 1.
But this is yes. Let's say that's the number. I'm not sure of those numbers. But the people that this is happening to initially, they were saying, is like younger men, like 18 to 24, who have like zero risk or one in a million risk of dying from COVID. You know what I mean? Most likely are going to get a very, very mild case, if not asymptomatic, meaning in my opinion, they don't even have it. Yet they have a threat of getting a, you know, a life altering complication like inflammation of the fucking heart, which leads to an increased mortality rate within 3 to 5 years of up to 56%. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Now, you know? I do want to say, I haven't heard no one personally. I don't know anyone personally who has had an adverse side effect to any of the vaccines.
Yeah. So anecdotally, you don't.
Anecdotally, I certainly know more people who have gotten sick from COVID or ended up in the hospital than with the vaccine adverse effects.
Are you sure they ended up in the hospital from COVID?
They ended up in the hospital. I mean, we know Brian Inez's family, like a lot of them got it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's so when someone's vaccine injured, it's hard to know. You know what I mean? It's like it can be sort of like it could be sort of just dismissed, even though it is real. Like, I am convinced that my mother got vaccine injured by this thing. Like, basically, certain things that she was dealing with beforehand, like a little bit of shortness of breath and stuff like that, it seems like all of those issues and balance stuff, all of those issues got accelerated after she got the jab, you know? And I can't prove it for sure. But, I mean, there's been some high-profile people who have become vaccine injured. Like, Eric Clapton has been speaking out like crazy. He got really vaccine injured. His hands have become very stiff and stuff like that. And he's now being completely slandered as being like racist, as being like anti-vaxxer and pro-Trump.
Yo,
and
my
everything
hand
like
hurts.
That. Yeah,
you racist.
Yeah, I will say that
they're saying he's appropriating culture because he sang "I Shot the Sheriff" by Bob Marley.
Oh, huh.
Oh, Bob Marley didn't even write that song.
Exactly.
That's it's like a Jamaican folk song.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's how much they hate the cops, dude.
They talk about how Eric Clapton like wrote four anti-lockdowns, was on four anti-lockdown songs with Van Morrison, because Van Morrison has been speaking out against lockdowns from the beginning.
That's on brand.
And I will say, with the vaccine adverse effects that Clapton's talking about, like stiff hands, he's a professional guitar player who's old.
See, you can completely dismiss them. Look, you can completely dismiss them away. It was more than just stiff hands.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's just like, I know, like, I'm 33 and I'm not a professional guitar player. Like, I already have arthritis from playing guitar.
Yeah. But there were other effects too.
Okay.
And, you know, you can dismiss them away, but you're going to tell me, like, all these people are just taking the time to lie about adverse effects to the vaccine?
Oh, I'm not saying that they're lying. I'm just like, I'm saying it's probably harder to spot like an adverse effect of a vaccine would be if you're constantly looking for like a symptom of some sort of vaccine complication after the fact and you don't have a list of what the symptoms could be, then like you can just accredit to almost anything.
Yeah, but also we're the third phase trial tests. They don't know what all the symptoms can be because they never did any long-term tests on this thing. We are the long-term phase 3 trial guinea pigs for this vaccination.
Oh,
because
I know.
This, you know what I mean? So how the fuck are they going to say what the side effects are if they're finding them out in real time when we have them?
I do think that is how most vaccines get rolled out, though.
Absolutely not.
This was a little bit rushed, but like...
A lot rushed. Absolutely not. Most of them have to be like 7 to 10 years.
But do you
like,
think...
You know, polio was like 3, I think.
Yeah, and then like smallpox was just on the fly.
Yeah. I mean, smallpox, I mean, are you talking about the cow and like the
cowpox thing?
That was like
the first vaccine.
Yeah, it was like people like falling down the street with fucking pustules and shit. Like they would have cut something open.
This is like a technology they've been studying for a long time, and this is the first time it's been used widespread in humans, this mRNA.
No, Gardasil is the first mRNA vaccine.
Okay, that's being used widespread in the population.
Yes, Gardasil. It's like the HPV vaccine, and people
have had a lot of problems with that.
Have they?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's already, like, you already hear those fucking... Like, did you get it injured from the, the Gardasil? Oh. Da, 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 call 1-800-da-da-da-da. Go to... This is the World Health Organization vaccine injured site. It's called vigiaccess.org, vigiaccess.org.
I want to look up the Gardasil thing first.
Okay. But there's, so this mRNA technology, right? Do you guys, I don't totally understand how it works, but I kind of do. Do you guys know how it works?
Dude, fuck probably. No, I don't know how mRNA
not better than you, man.
I don't want to brag, but I have a lot of free time. But basically, this mRNA technology codes for the spike protein, which it kind of creates in your cells, mm-hmm. creates the spike protein that is supposed to be coded to be representative of COVID-19. So then you're supposed to create antibodies from that. However, the injection is supposed to stay localized into your arm, but mm-hmm. they're finding that the spike proteins are actually going throughout your entire body and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And the injection is wrapped in these lipid nanoparticles, they're called. Mm-hmm. And these nanoparticles are not supposed to be able to cross through the blood-brain barrier, but they can. Mm-hmm. So whatever's in these little nanoparticles is getting into the brain. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the injection is done wrong, where it's not being shot into the muscle, it's being shot into the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of problems going on with this technology. And the fact that there's a lot of people that say, if you question this at all, that you don't believe in science, mm-hmm. yet they don't know anything, they don't even know that it's an mRNA vaccine, mm-hmm. is like infuriating. Yeah. It's like, what? You believe in the word science? Is that what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, say the word, dude.
You know?
As a scientist, like, constantly checking.
Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah, that is science, where it's constantly checking and changing and stuff like that. But yeah, the between the VigiAccess and VAERS, it's worthwhile to know that there are people that are having adverse effects. I don't understand why it's so taboo to even talk about them. Mm.
I don't have any problem talking about them. I would just want to weigh the amount of people who get injured from COVID compared to the amount of people who are...
I agree. Right. I think when it's younger people, it's going to be from the vaccine compared to COVID. Because we know that most people that get COVID have mild to no symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you're a guy in your mid-30s, and you have not been vaccinated, should you get vaccinated?
I think it's a personal choice.
Word.
No. I mean, I have buyer's remorse from having gotten it, to be honest.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. But because I think, because I didn't know it, I didn't know everything that I know about it that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't like being lied to. I don't like the lack of informed consent, you know.
Right.
And some other high profile people have, you know, are claiming to be vaccine injured. Jimmy Dore is dealing with all sorts of like waves of fatigue and stiff neck and stuff like that for a long time. And
So there was a 2013 Gardasil recall.
Hello. Uh-oh.
And that was from just four lots, so four batches of this vaccine. And that was because they were distributed with glass particles because of breakage in the manufacturing process.
Okay, okay.
So not like a problem with the technology, more just like, you know, neglect.
Well, look this up. The Moderna one right now is currently on hold in Iceland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, all of that stuff because of this increase in myocarditis that they're finding.
Okay, so, wait, what am I looking for? Sorry, I was reading the Gardasil stuff.
No, that's fine. So Moderna, Iceland, let's see if that might be enough.
Let's see. Have they banned the Moderna? Which one? So what are you looking for?
Yeah, basically they've put on hold the use of Moderna for either everybody or a certain group of people. And that's also, they've joined Nordic countries.
It's because of the slight increased risk of cardiac inflammation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, I mean, if they're saying slight, it means it's a lot more. And it's the sort of thing where, are you kidding me? What do you think is more dangerous? Like, let's take a step back from all of the fear and propaganda. What's more dangerous, COVID-19 or heart inflammation?
I don't know. I mean, I will say I haven't found anything about the Gardasil. So it's like, I'm not really afraid of this type of vaccine technology. like I can look for the Gardasil class action lawsuit, but I almost suspect.
I mean, it is a gene therapy based vaccine. It is different from everything else. And all I know is I would.
It's not different from Gardasil, though.
Okay, besides Gardasil, you know, but I would prefer not to be part of essentially a guinea pig situation. That's how I feel it is.
I understand. My main, I agree with you when it comes to having a passport, like an electronic passport. But I don't have the same level of skepticism for the vaccine. I am slightly skeptical, but not at the same level as you.
That's fine. That's fine. We can still be friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, listener, how many of you are still friends with us?
Like, and which ones?
Yeah.
Our podcast is underground enough that our friends are not going to listen to it, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank goodness.
That's
I
good.
Think this will just stop me from getting dates. If I'm being completely honest.
I'll tell you, we're going to be real popular in Florida and Texas and New Hampshire.
Dude, and from everyone who was born and raised in Bushwick will be real popular too.
Think about that weird dynamic, right? Of like, of people who, let's say, white people who would say really support BLM at the same time.
Protesting with unvaccinated people. Yeah. Oh,
that's interesting. But that's not what I was going to say.
Okay, what were you
going
to say?
I was going to say, at the same time, being outspoken about wanting these vaccine passports, while only 27% of young black men in New York are vaccinated, thus creating a two-tiered, essentially new age Jim Crow system for them.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you square that in your head?
Mm-hmm. I think you blame the education system. If I was a classic white liberal who was for that, I would just like, you just got to fix that. You just got to educate more. And then they'd trust science.
We let them down.
Don't you think that's probably how they do it? That's probably the equation they make in their head.
I don't even know if they've thought it through.
You don't think so? You think they just block it out so they don't have to?
Or they just like didn't even... I think I would actually agree with you on this. I think it's like they wouldn't even... That dissonance wouldn't even enter their mind unless someone like forced them on, like, ooh.
Like, unless it was like directly laid out, they'd be like, I feel so torn.
Yeah, and I feel like although I do think that if they were like, if you pressed them, that would probably have to be like,
that's
right.
The only answer.
Yeah,
that's the like, only answer.
Any other answer is not fun for anybody.
Because the whole
they're just like, well, if you look at World Star, I'm just gonna blame World Star.
Because apparently the Tuskegee experiments was just the fucking beginning. You know what I mean? Mark Crispin Miller talked about that. That was like the tip of the iceberg. There's all sorts of experimentation and sterilization that happened to black people in our country. You know what I mean? Like, I think that their skepticism, I fully support it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, think about this. It's like, if you just realize, like, why... If you're protected,
well, I will say at this point, there's skepticism for the vaccine as high as ever. But what's that one Jamaican doctor that hawks like coral pills that cure cancer? You know what I'm talking about?
The Jamaican? Are you talking about the Jamaican?
So is it
like a specific chemical, or is it straight up like from coral, like
from coral, from the coral reef?
Oh,
but
what you go to?
There's
Jamaica
a lot of crossover
see.
With people who don't trust the vaccine that are in the black community that will also like really, really like these like new age, like herbal medicines,
like the white equivalent of like crystals and shit. Although like black people also started getting into crystals. Which is like,
I mean, how do you know that it's most?
Anecdote. Okay. Anecdotal. Okay. I'll say this. Most black dudes who don't believe in the vaccine that I've talked to personally will then also believe in this one doctor.
Here, let me see if I can herbal remedies or like.
Well, just because let's say they're potentially wrong about that doesn't mean they're wrong about the vaccine.
No, it doesn't, but it also it makes me distrust their ability to decipher information.
Yeah, but what you don't know about the coral reef pills.
I mean, calcium carbonate. We know what the fuck coral is, baby.
I know what coral is.
Yeah.
I know that Tums don't cure cancer. Yeah, and I know that coral's not far off from a Tums pill.
It is almost identical.
Yeah, but that doesn't. But that doesn't mean that somebody should not be able to have autonomy over their own body.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, once someone says something to me that's about pharmaceuticals and medical things that is wildly wrong, I start distrusting a lot of the things they say. That's the only correlation that I'm making.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah. I mean.
Also, what is fair is to talk about the financial incentives that the hospitals got in order to code deaths as COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds horrifying, and that's something that really angers people when you bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
But I think from that documentary, they did nail that part, I thought.
They did, and I'm sure it will piss a lot of people off still. But everything I know about like hospital administrators, like, sounds on brand.
It's crazy. So basically, if someone was labeled as a COVID hospitalization, the hospital was able to recoup more money from Medicare or Medicaid in order to treat that person. So there was that weird financial incentive to code all of these people as having COVID. And then also the way that a COVID death was decided to be marked on death certificates, the WHO, the CDC rather, they changed the mechanism for how it was coded, saying like, okay, if somebody dies with COVID-19, we're going to say that is a COVID-19 death, even if they had multiple comorbidities like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all that stuff. So basically what usually would happen, somebody has cancer, somebody has heart failure, they don't die directly of the heart failure. They get pneumonia. Their immune system is so weak they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. They die. So what you put on the death certificate is complications due to congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. But if someone got a positive COVID test in that respect, the thing that would go on the death certificate would be COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely increased the death toll.
That would be like analogous to having AIDS. You catch a cold and that wipes you out and you say the cold killed you.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. And so that's what they've did. So they've inflated the death numbers, they've inflated the case numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that led to these lockdown policies and is still leading to these systems of control. Mm-hmm. And it's led to masking, it's led to social distancing, all of that sort of stuff. And now they have a mechanism in place where they can just turn that dial up and down on us moving forward. And that ain't cool.
That ain't cool, baby. I don't like it.
Wow, I'm really just letting it go in this podcast, man.
Fuck the dial.
I think I do agree with you that I am very much worried that they are using this as a way for like some sort of social credit system, some sort of manipulation of the population.
A system of control.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to parse out what is real and what isn't in this and what the mechanisms they're using for it, because it is a real thing. COVID is a real disease, and you have to distrust so much media to come to these conclusions. And then you have to trust other forms of media. So it's like, that's what's hard for me. It's like, I'm never
a form of media who's also sometimes unreliable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You're right. But I mean, we live in the most sophisticated propaganda state in the world. You know what I mean? So you're absolutely right. I sympathize with you 100%. It's very hard to push through all of the layers and systems of bullshit and control and propaganda.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're getting propagandized all the way from NPR through Fox News, including, you know, publications like New York Times, Washington Post, etc., and then you're getting fake fact checkers all over social media and stuff like that from Reuters and the AP, main news wires, you got propaganda coming from you every which way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get some truth pushed towards you that causes you some cognitive dissonance, it immediately has a fact check saying it's not true. Right. How the fuck do you push through? I'll tell you what you do. You check out my tutorial.
Here's a question I want to know. So when you were working at Redacted Tonight, what did you consider yourself? Did you consider yourself a comedic satire, or did you consider yourself like a journalist of some sort? What would you consider that role?
I would say like a political satirist.
More of a satirist.
Yeah, but That's the cover that you give yourself.
Exactly. But you sort of feel like a journalist, right?
Well, you feel like you're picking up the slack for like these mainstream journalists who are just fucking lying through their teeth all the time and are doing this bullshit.
But okay, so when you're working there, the main way that you get information is just through sorting through other information, right? It's never investigative yourself.
I did not have the resources to do my own investigative journalism, but what I would do, though, because I had the time to do it and was getting paid to do it, is I would look through all sorts of sources across the left-right spectrum, independent sources, and there's something about the truth, you know? There's something about the truth that kind of sticks to you.
But how much journalism today do you think is that style of journalism?
I think a lot, but not even that they're going through all the sources. I think that they're just copying and pasting.
Yeah, exactly, you know what I mean? Right? Yeah.
Basically, a story will be written by the Associated Press or Reuters or one of the other two main news wires, mm-hmm. and then that'll essentially be, you know, copy and paste it all the way down. And a lot of times, the Council on Foreign Relations are the ones that dictate the stories to the AP and to Reuters. And that's how you have centralized global news cycles, and that's how you allow to control the narrative for a global pandemic. And that's why if we're going to push back against this, we need to have a global movement, because this is us versus the Great Reset, which is the rebrand of the New World Order.
Hmm.
So, and I think in these days, the thing to do is to spread the word, mm-hmm. and also, and I have a long way to go for this, is to get more, you know, self-sufficient in the community. Like, you know, grow your own food, things like that, you know, create some sort of like potential, you know, bartering system. And I mean, we're in New York City, so we're totally fucked. Shit.
Bar comedy show.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
We're in like the center of it. I mean, New York City was the first place in the country to pass some version of a vaccine passport system. And there was very little...
you know what's
there was very little like resistance to it.
Mm.
But you know what makes me optimistic is you don't have to be a part of that. The app, what's the app called?
Right now you don't. The Excelsior app,
the Excelsior
or whatever.
App,
there's two of them.
Well, the Excel, we can just use it, but you don't need that. You don't need that to function in New York society, really.
Right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you're not happy about that?
I'm happy that you don't need that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm happy that like they tried it and then they immediately sort of like, I guess this isn't gonna be.
No, they didn't. They always said that you could either have that or the card.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So that's where I'm gonna draw the line. I won't digitize.
I haven't digitized either.
I just won't do it. So if that really limits my my social life, that's fine. I have to take a stand at some point.
But they haven't digitized, and I honestly don't think they will. Sort of on the merit that there's too many old people that would be able to do that. Like there's too many old people and too many like just illiterate that wouldn't be able to even be a part of the system at all.
Well, what I'm going to say to you is that I hope you're right.
Okay.
Cause you know, there's been massive protests throughout Europe about these vaccine passports, and it's people who have been,
they need one. They have to have one, right? In a lot of European countries, you need a digital
passport.
It's
been top down, handed. Yeah, like in France, Italy. I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on in Germany, but they've been protesting like crazy, and it's people that are both vaccinated and not. There's people that have been burning their vax cards, stuff like that, and they just know. They just know that it's the beginning of a slippery slope, and they intuitively know that this is a show your papers situation.
It's a paper
they
situation.
Know their fucking history, and it's the beginnings of that here.
Yeah.
Mm. No shortage of old people in those countries either.
Yeah. I mean,
they're more literate, but like, you know.
They're much more literate.
And think about this. How about all the people who've lost their jobs in America because they didn't want to get, they didn't want to get.
Yeah.
You know, and that has not affected us directly, but that's affected a lot of people in our country. You know, we're talking 70,000 healthcare workers in the state of New York. Hello. And they want to replace them with the National Guard is what they floated, and or bringing in people from foreign countries to fulfill the jobs. Weird.
They'll
you
do
know
it.
What I mean,
well, bring in people from foreign countries. That's been the medical business model forever.
Hey, Filipino nurses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But think about that. Think about if there are so many healthcare workers that don't want to get the jab. Maybe we should ask them why.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
You know, plus I like religious exemption is legit because the only one that is built upon aborted fetal cells is the Johnson & Johnson one. Mm-hmm. But the other two, the Moderna and the Pfizer, don't have them in it, but they were developed using that as part of the technology.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're a Catholic, mm-hmm. that's totally gross to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dang. I didn't know that about the Johnson & Johnson.
I told you.
Well,
he's got the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna be slick.
Like, no, Sean, got, you.
Well,
yeah,
no, hold on.
You,
well, I'll explain.
Yeah,
I'll
explain what
so, like,
you have. Yeah,
I got like the Moderna, like way back in March, and then I like tried to go get the second shot or whatever because like I wasn't woke. I didn't know any better. And then we have no record of you coming in to get a shot at all. I'm like, really? And then like, no. And then I'm like, all right, well, then I'm just not going to get one. And then like living here, just you need one. And I didn't want to like risk trying to make a fake one, which I don't know. So
not
yeah,
hard.
Not hard. You know,
I know a lot of people have made fake cards.
I should have just fucking done that. But yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So then yeah, I just got the Johnson & Johnson after that.
What people do to make a fake card is someone takes a picture of a real one,
yeah,
and they just Photoshop it, and they're like, here's a picture of my vaccine
yeah.
card.
Yeah, for the listener, that's how
the
you make a real one.
Yeah. The fact that people have to do that, it's fucking bonkers.
It is crazy. You know? Although, the only reason I'm counter-arguing you is just like, so there is a counter-argument.
You know? I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm too much on your side, dude. I can't like.
Why is it me versus you guys?
No, like, I'm
too much on your side.
Oh, like, he's completely on your side.
I think you're
side.
Appropriate amount on my side.
And I'm not for
I could do more.
I'm hedging our bets. You know, you
have to.
Yeah.
Have to.
There was, I think like maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, the Hasidic community, they never vaccinated their kids for measles.
Mm-hmm.
And then measles was running through the public school systems. And so they were like, all right, Hasidic people, you can either vaccine your kids or we're not allowing your kids to be in school.
Yeah.
And I sort of agree with that. I agree that like we have a measles vaccine. And now because you're not vaccinated, this old-timey disease is running through our community again.
Yeah. Okay. Also, fun fact about measles is like, if you get measles, it really does reset your whole your adaptive immune system in terms of like what your immune system has memories of in terms of fighting particular viruses. Like after measles, that whole part of your immune system is just clear. And that's not a great.
Okay.
You're fucked. You are fucked if you get measles.
COVID's not spreading in that respect.
Yeah.
COVID's not doing that.
Okay. Well, I don't really have a... I mean, what do you mean by it's not spreading that effect? Do you mean there's like...
I'm meaning
The vaccines are very different to where like measles is gone if you get the vaccine. Yeah. That's not true with COVID.
This is a very leaky vaccine, as they call it.
Right. Yeah.
And now we're going to have to get shots every 6 months with what is still an experimental type of vaccine.
Yeah.
And when you look at the potential of there being... Okay, here we go.
Well, okay, I do want to change that phrase because I think this vaccine type isn't experimental, but it is a new vaccine type that we don't have long-term data for. Because calling it an experimental vaccine still negates the fact that we use it for Gardasil.
I don't agree with you because the CDC themselves and the FDA have called it an experimental vaccine because it's used under... experimental use authorization.
No, so this particular vaccine isn't experimental, but it's not an experimental type. For me, that phrase means the mRNA type of vaccine in itself is experimental, which I feel like since it's such a rushed vaccine, that's why it's an experimental vaccine, correct?
I think that even with the Gardasil one, because this gene therapy mRNA technology being used widespread, I would still consider it experimental, even though there is a Gardasil one.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, it's like there is potentially, just to go all the way off the rails. there's potentially a eugenics. Depopulation agenda afoot, and some people think
now with this, now is it going to be you like So you're thinking that the vaccine will be able to sterilize specific sections of the population?
I don't know enough about it to speak on it intelligibly, and I probably should not have brought it up.
Okay. Well, since you did.
Yeah. But what I do know is that there's a group of very powerful people.
Mm-hmm. Including Bill Gates?
Including Bill Gates. Okay. That is sort of under the umbrella of the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. that really want to usher in the fourth industrial revolution.
Right.
The first industrial revolution would be considered steam. The second industrial revolution would be electricity. The third would be the computer age. And the fourth would be transhumanism, which is the merging of man and machine.
Technically there's already transhumans.
Yeah, it's like the process has started.
Yeah, but having a pacemaker would be considered being a transhuman, correct?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess so. I guess there's a machine aspect to it. But they basically want to create a kind of two-tiered system where they have basically control over all of us utilizing technology. And basically they want to create new markets based on new sort of like medical things. Like they want to have something called social impact bonds and human capital markets, where basically they'll determine, okay, this person is mentally ill, so they're going to cost the state this amount of money. But instead, we're going to use this, we'll use this new program that if they kind of jump through all these hoops and do this telehealth thing and all of this stuff, then that'll save X amount of money. That money will go to the corporation that created that technology, and then the hedge funds will bet on the people on whether or not they think they're going to complete the certain tasks that they want to do. And all of that stuff is enabled via things like digital identity. So that's what's kind of coming down the line. It's really going to affect poor people. Mm-hmm. And so this is so incredulous to people in the middle class and stuff like that, that, you know, they're initially not going to probably fight back. And these are concepts that I'm just learning about from certain independent researchers and stuff. So I can't really eloquated as well as I want to yet.
Whenever I hear about transhumanism, the fear that most people seem to have is that there will be like two classes of people, which will be the rich people who get to edit their genes and enhance themselves, and they'll be the only ones who have access to these very expensive procedures. Mm-hmm. And if the technology reaches a point to where it's good, it'll essentially make a superhuman, which is a rich person, and then they'll have the other class of just a regular human, which will just like further the gap even more, because you'll be more high functioning as a transhuman.
I think that's a really good way to put it. And I think that it kind of creates what the end of history, because the people that are not in that transhuman superclass will never be able to rise up.
No,
to
because
the power structure,
as soon as there's a superhuman, if you're poor, you can never become a superhuman. Then you're mm-hmm. essentially just, what's the bottom of the totem pole of the Indian caste system? The
untouchables. Yeah.
You're an untouchable.
Yeah.
It's a regular mm-hmm. human monkey.
I think both of these could happen at the same time. I don't think your transhumanist visions are even opposed to each other a little bit. Yeah.
Isn't it weird that untouchable, it's like the lowest caste, but also it sounds cool. Like, I'm untouchable.
Weren't they the ones that were like, they brought down, they were like the FBI? No, those are the,
Those are the untouchables, I think.
No, they're like, they're on something.
You're talking about like the JFK people?
No, not the J. I don't know. That's the
with Kevin Costner.
Shit, you might be right. Shit, I don't remember. Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it was the Untouchables. Yeah. Where? Yeah, dude.
I think we should list off our credentials now after people have been listening to this. So I'm Ben Sehan, former chef. Sean,
go ahead, Sean.
No, go ahead, John. No, John F. O'Donnell, dude, crazy pill for life.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah. I'm mentally ill, stand-up comedian.
And
John F. O'Donnell,
past correspondent for Redacted Tonight, funded by Russia.
This is where the truth comes from. I worked for the Russian government for half a decade, telling the truth on behalf of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And now I tell the truth on behalf of myself. And yeah, that's I have a lot of free time on my hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sean Howard, I'm a comedian who moved here from Philly, and I work in an office and
accounting department.
counting, contracts, budgets, you name it. I'm in there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we've done more in-depth, honest discussion, not if you will, about what's going on than you're going to hear in more outlets that should be definitely more responsible than us for the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree to that.
And what a high bar we cleared, huh?
So, yeah. So a couple things to check out. Let's make sure. What? Let's make sure we plug Alex Jones.
Yeah, you gotta check out Alex Jones.
Yeah, you guys got to go to band.video. That is the site.
It is. I know.
And
yeah,
check
yeah.
out COVID Land The Lockdown. And then also you got to go to VAERS.com to find out about vaccine injured people. That's VAERS.com. And then if you want to find out about the World Health Organization one, that's VigiAccess.org, VigiAccess.org. And my newsletter is jfodnews.com.
If you want to just check out me generally, that's Cornbread Ben on Instagram. I post a lot of food I make.
Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm Thick Greens on Instagram, and I don't post much of anything. I'm sorry.
No, he posts, if you like videos of owls and falcons that have been in the Maria Hernandez park lately.
I got a pretty sick video of a cat looking at pigeons.
One other thing to hear about the podcast we talked about a little bit about Whitney Webb interviewed Mark Crispin Miller. That is Unlimited Hangout. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure to plug some people who have way more reach than I do.
Any final words? Or is there anything else that you want to cover before we end?
I don't know, man. Let's see. It's too sad.
We'll talk about it. And we can cut it out.
I don't want to cut it out, I just feel bad that all of these lockdowns and policies and all of this stuff, if you acknowledge or agree that the case numbers were overblown and that asymptomatic spread is not real, or essentially not real, then the fact that people had to die alone in hospital beds and their family couldn't see them or had to see them through the glass or had to see them, you know, all covered up in PPE and, you know, face shields and stuff like that. And just how sad and how that's never happened in the history of our country that we've locked down, quarantined healthy people. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we allowed that to happen out of fear from a mainstream media who is nothing more than an extension of the state, who has a vested interest in fucking lying to us and scaring the shit out of us, is just really sad. And hopefully we don't let it keep happening, because unless we push back, they're just going to keep taking more and more control. One of you guys say something funny or something.
And with that.
Let's see. What will I say? I am vaccinated, but I don't use condoms. So, so you know, figure out that cognitive dissonance.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I think this has been good. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, guys, this has been incredibly cathartic for me. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, before I do something like this in my mind, I'm like, all right, John, you know, maybe just keep play it cool. You know what I mean?
I will say this, how many people have you talked about agreeing like a little bit with this Alex Jones documentary?
Well, I only watched it a couple days ago, but a couple. One in particular who's like a pretty high profile journalist.
Okay. What do they have to say?
They thought it was awesome.
Okay.
So now what I try to do is just try to get people to watch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes I got to be like, I know this is weird, man, but I would love to see what you think of this Alex Jones documentary. And that's what I do. It's like, so I'm not on, you know, TV anymore. I don't have that platform, but I have access to my friends, some of which have
pretty big platforms.
Pretty big platforms. Yeah. So I lovingly...
you nudge them.
I lovingly nudge them and send them stuff. And it that's my contribution that seems to kind of like, you know, pay off in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Alex Jones does spread a lot of disinformation.
You've never watched him.
No, but I've seen his products.
Yeah, but you've never watched him.
I have watched almost none of him. That is, I've seen him talk to Joe Rogan.
Okay.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well... You got to watch the documentary.
I'll watch the documentary.
Especially after this conversation, you'll find it interesting.
It's not as much. It's not as much Alex Jones per minute as you would think.
I didn't think it was much. I honestly didn't think it was much Alex Jones.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, he narrates part of it. They're interviewing a lot of people. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's made by a film production company. You know, it's like, I think that they're actually, it's actually going to be, It's the perfect source for the mainstream media for the truth to come out in because they can easily dismiss it. But it doesn't mean what he's saying isn't true.
Okay. Mm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Wrap it? How long have we been doing this?
I think we're... What time is it? Four? I think... A pretty long time. It's looking
at least an hour and a half, right?
It says 2 hours and 20 minutes, but that feels wrong.
I don't know. But I'll tell you, a good way to end is for us to just trail off and talk about how long the podcast is. You know,
I think that's a good question.
I have a question for both of you. Too. Is Dunderhead a slur?
Dunderhead.
Dunderhead? Yeah.
I've never even heard that.
Okay.
Does it have to do with like Dunder Mifflin or something?
I don't know. The Office? I was at Costco yesterday and they some guy was coming through and like this lady wouldn't move her cart, and so the guy was like to me like, yeah, you believe some of these dunderheads don't like move their
I'll look it up right now.
I think it just means a dumb
just
dumb.
A dummy. Okay. I just want, because I was agreeing with him, like, yeah, this person is
it's like a British word for a stupid person.
Oh
yeah,
hilarious. Because this guy was like, looked like a Bay Ridge Italian. He was like, these dunderheads. Like, I just assumed this was like, you know.
If I see a Bay Ridge Italian, I am going to think that. But no.
Okay.
He's just like.
Yeah, but if he was racist, wouldn't he be like racist towards you?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, but like he was, because the person who was like not moving the cart was Asian, I thought he was like on some like anti-Asian solidarity.
Oh, I guess.
He's like, oh, the black guy, he'll understand.
Also, I will say this day and age, it is surprising the alliances that racists will make. Like, there's a Mexican dude that lives next to me, and someone did some graffiti on the roof, and he was asking me, like, do you know who the fuck did graffiti? I was like, I have no idea. He's like, you know what? I saw them. They're black. And I'm just looking at this Mexican guy like, dude, if I agree with you that black people are bad, wouldn't you make the leap that I would then look on you in a certain way? It's like, I don't understand.
Mm. Yeah, maybe he thinks in the hierarchy of racism that
you guys are closer to that.
We'll make a bond. Enemies will form an alliance against a true enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. Mm.
But I'll tell you, man. Speaking of enemy, my enemy is my friend. I feel like to push back against this issue, against this biosecurity state, whatever you want to call it, this show me your papers new system, this lack of autonomy over our bodies, this transcends the left-right. We have to find allies every place that we can. You know what I mean? This should be an issue that unites people in this country, regardless of if they're, you know, Team Biden or Team Trump or left or right or whatever you want to call it. Mm. That's how I see it. I really do see it like that.
Yeah.
Join the 15th dimension.
Yeah.
The 15th plane.
At least a lot of people that I interact with seem to have gotten over the idea of the left and the right.
Okay. I think a lot of people, maybe they have, but I think they also kind of don't give a fuck.
Yeah, generally, it's like, if you don't care about the left or the right, you either care a lot or you don't care at all.
Yeah. And I think for the people that don't care at all, I don't think that this is a time when you can sit on the fence. I don't know exactly what to do, but I know you got to do something. And I think this is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, some people are going to listen to this and maybe they'll know what to do, or they'll spread the word. Because I think also certain things stop happening if enough people know about it. That's the thing. People go like, oh, you can always complain about stuff, but what's the solution? The solution is just more people knowing about it so we can stand up and say, fucking stop.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think that.
No?
I think that helps. It helps a little bit, but it's like, this is like very tangential, but in comedy, we make fun of things constantly. Like, it's like we've made comedy has made fun of New Age mysticism since like the inception of comedy, and that's only blossomed. New Age mysticism has only blossomed to new levels.
Damn. Well, I don't. I mean, I
clearly,
guess
clearly, comedy's not the
comedy's not the forum to like not the weapon, social change,
not the weapon to stop New Age mysticism.
Yeah.
Well, good thing we weren't too funny in this podcast. Well, we were pretty funny.
We were hilarious. Yeah, nothing would have gotten done.
Nothing at all.
We wouldn't have affected.
We
change.
Actually we wanted change, people. I want you to know on this podcast. This was a conscious choice.
For how much you did not enjoy this, the listener, that was a
Well, I'm pretty sure some people that listen are gonna hate me. So I'm open minded.
Yeah.
Always. Have to be.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And I believe nothing. So
nihilist.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
More of an absurdist.
That's cool.
Shit.
I don't. I'm more of an anarcho-communitarian.
Okay. All right. There's an anarchist collective like right down the street.
I know. It's never open.
Sounds about right.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. Sounds about right. It's the base. It's never open. And then when I do see them open, they're usually like boxing. That seems to be the main thing into. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Boxing. No journalists are allowed in there, though, John.
Well, I'm just a comedian.
I don't know. All after this podcast.
We'll find out.
See, I would love to turn all of this into stand-up. I tried to come up with, like, I thought of an angle to do it, but it didn't work at all, where I was like, oh, I'll be like, hey, guys, this is my impression of somebody who believes everything they read on the internet. Huh?
They see in your eyes you believe it too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just say shit that I believe.
Oh shit, this guy is speaking his truth.
Yeah. So I think we should wrap.
I think we should wrap too.
Just to leave everybody a little breadcrumb for next time, I didn't even talk about 5G.
And I had a Israeli hacker group, NSO, that I didn't get to, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
I didn't want to double stack the Israeli tie-ins.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to look more into that too. Mm. Cool.
Also, guys, it's fall, so you know what that means. The JNCO female trees are going to be dropping JNCO nuts that you can then harvest and roast. Mm-hmm. They taste like pistachios.
Oh shit!
Where are they local to?
Shit, everywhere. They're like all over New York.
Okay.
All over Philly, any city really. They plant them because they can tolerate the shit.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And so that's been Hunter S. Thompson, Who's That, teamed up with The Crazy Pill. Thank you for listening. And my cousin Jason, hope you're doing good, man.
All right. Yeah, Jason. I'm John F. O'Donnell.
Yeah, Jason's my biggest fan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm John F. O'Donnell. Holy shit. Hey, you guys into the half hour of meandering we did after the podcast was over? I'm John F. O'Donnell.
And I'm Sean Howard.
And I'm Ben C. Han. And that was the podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys for swallowing the insanity and puking out the propaganda. Till next time.